Hello, everyone. I'm here. Had to log on as Corinne so I could get in here with y'all. Let me know you can hear me. How's everybody doing tonight? Time for some office hours. Let me get my notes here. Oh, we got a hand raised already. Okay, let's do this. Y'all get your hands raised. Let's get a good, oh good, we got a little line going. Okay, Deb, JMO422, and Melody are up first. And then Sonia, okay. Deb, you're up first. Hey.
Hello.
Hey, stranger.
How are you?
I haven't seen you in a while.
I know.
Yes, how have you been doing?
Well, actually, I'm kind of struggling.
Okay.
I've got things going on, like I'm moving at the end of August, and my son that doesn't talk to me is not talking to me, and he just had a baby. But anyway, but what happened last night, I listened to Corinne on the Zoom with the four urge, you know, and when I got off that, I sat down and my husband was there and he asked me something and I just pretty much was very not nice. He says, "What's the matter?" I said, "I don't know." But I was so pissed after that's the only thing I think of is that I got so angry after that Zoom.
Why?
Well, I guess because I'm not losing weight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the answer is because I'm overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, why can't I do it? I've been so successful before and I've heard so many of these calls and like I have the answer when I'm listening to this call and I have the answer right now for me. But why can't I do it? I journaled this morning on, you know, things that are really bugging me and did some TDLs and kind of shared with my accountability partners. But I just feel so, I don't know, fractured is the word that came to mind, which sounds kind of, wow, overreactive to me. But I just, something's wrong and I'm not getting it right. That's
okay. So let's go back to your question. Why can't I do it? So answer that question. Anytime you ask yourself a question, answer it. Why can't I do it? Why can't you do it?
I guess because I really don't want it bad enough.
Is that true?
No, it's not true. I really do want it. But something is stopping me. From being real proactive for me.
What do you think that is that's stopping you?
Well, I could say it's the stuff going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm using the, okay.
Because those are just the facts of your life, right? Those are just your circumstances. Your movement.
Yeah, they are.
Your son, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Those are all just things that happen in your life. What's stopping you?
What is stopping me?
It's your thoughts, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Me letting the 2-year-old win.
Yeah. It always comes back to your thoughts.
Correct.
Those correct. Darn thoughts.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, again, you've got all these circumstances going on and those create thoughts, you know, you're choosing thoughts because of those. And then, you know, if you think about the model, it just, you just go to, you're going down the model and, you know, your action is that you're overeating. You're not, you know, you're not making the choices that you want to make and things like that. So what are the thoughts that you think you might want to examine and maybe change?
Well, if we look at them.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts are not related to food. So
they don't have to be related to food if they create an action of overeating, then they're related to food.
Right. Right. Okay. So my top one is, that and my thought is when I have a plan for dinner,
mm-hmm.
and then Michael comes, last night we had a plan, and then he says, I really just want to go out for nachos. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought on that is I don't want to, he's got enough going on in his life that I just want to give him what he wants. I mean, rather than stand up for me, and that doesn't really sound very positive, does it?
So what is standing up for you look like?
Saying, no, we really have this plan. That's on my plan. That's what I want to do. I want to stick with my plan.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what else could it look like? There's some other options in there too, right?
Yes, I could. I could make an equally healthy choice, but something different than's on my plan. Yes.
You could eat before you go and just let him have the nachos and you don't eat wherever you go. You could eat the nachos and to your plus two, you could make a different choice at the restaurant. I mean, there's a bunch of options there, right?
Yes, there are. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. The eating at the going and watching him eat is not, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple times maybe, but that's not my, I know the thought is I should just sit in discomfort,
mm-hmm.
suck it up and feel the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened to me last night. I got, it scared me. Mm. I really got angry.
What was so scary?
That I was taking it out of my husband.
Mm.
And he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that, I feel that the reason that happened is because I'm not dealing real well with things. I feel like I am. I tell myself I am, but recently I'm not sleeping now. I'm getting up like at 5 o'clock every morning. Not because I want to.
I was going to say.
I want to.
Do that on purpose.
I wake up and I can't fall back asleep, but here it's light and the sun shining, so it's not bad. But so I'm not sleeping real well. I've just found out from the doc that I can't push fluids. I have to limit my fluids because I was draining my sodium, and that's been really hard because I've pushed fluids for so many years now. Well, for at least 2 years, that it hasn't been pushing. It's been natural, and it's just what I do, and it feels right. And now I'm just so thirsty all the time. Mm-hmm. But that I'll adjust to that. It's mm-hmm. just kind of hard right now.
Well, because you're thinking it's hard.
No, because I'm thirsty.
You're thirsty is your circumstance. Well, I don't know.
Limiting water is my circumstance.
Whatever is on that doctor's chart is your circumstance, right? That's the facts. You can think however you want to about it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I do think about it that this will work itself out, and yeah. I will adjust.
So it's not hard.
No, it's just I'm thirsty, I guess. So, and over the last week, I think I'm doing better at it because I've pretty much cut my fluids in half about from mm-hmm. what I was doing.
Okay, so it'll work itself out. So you've got that, thought that works for you.
Right.
So don't go looking for trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, I mean, sometimes it doesn't help you to kind of just go through the laundry list of everything that's going on because just because if you've got things handled like this fluids thing, you know, you've got a thought already that's working for you. It'll work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really kind of focus on what you want to work on in terms of, you know, where in your life are you not getting the result that you want? It sounds like the weight loss.
It's PNP, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really where it is. I really, you know, trying to go through, as I think about this, that's kind of weird. Trying to go through, okay, Deb, what is going on with you? Why are you struggling? Blah, blah, blah. So I come up with this laundry list, like you say, but in reality, I'm pretty much handling it well. I'm handling it well with my son. It's done. It's like I've had a death in the family. But I'm ready. If he ever comes back, I'm ready for it. So it's the only way I can deal with it and survive.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, it will be what it is. He's, you know, guys do their own thing health-wise, and it's not what we want. I don't know about your husband, but...
Oh, no, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
And they make their own choices, right?
They do, and it's not the choices we would pick.
But I don't include that second part of that thought. I just say, you know what, he can do what he wants. Because that second part of that thought doesn't help me any.
No.
It almost kind of negates the first thought part of the thought. You know, like, I mean, reminding myself that it's not what I want, it doesn't matter what I want because I can't control him anyway. So he gets to do what he wants to do. He gets to make his own choices just like I do.
Yes.
You know? Uh-huh. So, you know, kind of be aware of that where it's like, maybe that second part doesn't help you all that much.
Okay.
You know?
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. So it's just becoming, you know, you're aware of what you've got going on and what, you know, what thoughts are working for you. I mean, it really sounds like that, you know, you use that kind of, it'll work itself out. That thought seems to be kind of working for you in several different
ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I am so mentally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've been doing therapy for 40 years and my therapists have never helped me as much as I've been helped in my last 2.5 years of PNP. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, but it's true. I tell everybody I meet about that. Because I really am so much healthier. I'm actually dealing with things rather than, I don't know what I was, you know, you kind of make excuses and say, well, it's their fault. But that doesn't help anything.
Mm.
That doesn't help anything.
I think it's important for you to really recognize and acknowledge yourself for how far you come.
Yes.
Because we don't do that in an intentional way. I mean, our brain just doesn't go to that automatically. We have to intentionally recognize and acknowledge ourselves. And so I think it's important for you to, I mean, you could even go back and listen to some of your old coaching calls and stuff and really just realize how far you've come and acknowledge yourself for that. Celebrate yourself for that. Mm-hmm. And that can kind of remind you of what, you know, what has been working for you all this time. And if you are, you know, if you are struggling with something right now, how can you use what you've already accomplished to help you with whatever's going on right now?
My reading.
What do you really need help with right now? Your weight loss?
Yes, that really is what I need help with. I did today. My accountability partner using this thing called Habit Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a habit tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So I started it today with my four habits I want to follow. And this week I'm really focusing on the plus two and minus two.
Mm-hmm.
And portion control kind of to get, cause they go together. And, I mean, so far today I've really done great and I really feel like that's going to continue.
Okay. So what have you been thinking that's been working for you to help you focus on your hunger scale?
I'm not hungry yet.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's been 13 hours, but I really don't need to eat yet.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, really kind of checking in with your body and saying, am I hungry?
Yes. Yes. And then I don't really eat a formal lunch and dinner. I usually eat cheese and apple, maybe some crackers. I mean, that really does it for me. And so when I was doing that today, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to have five crackers. And I cut all my cheese and I looked at it and went, whoa, okay, well, we're going to put half that back.
Mm-hmm.
Been consciously thinking about it. And I think what happens is I just do not intentionally think about it in the moment. I just kind of go for it and don't have that trigger.
Right.
So today it's been on my mind and I like that. It's been,
yeah.
Good.
And so that's where, you know, you're learning today that you need to have some sort of reminder, and it could be like a sticky note in your kitchen or something, you know, saying, check in with your body, or am I really hungry, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or a reminder on your phone or whatever it is. I mean, we have all this technology available to us.
Right.
But yeah, it's just a reminder to be conscious and to not just, you know, blindly, unconsciously eat whatever we planned and stuff like that. And all of that just takes practice to develop this new habit of, you know, of being conscious and checking in with your body all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're doing what works. It's just, you've just got to keep practicing at it.
Yes.
Yeah. Just keep going. And when, you know, something like with your husband last night comes up, that's another time you check in with yourself, right? And be like, okay, what do I want to decide to do? And whatever I decide to do, I'm going to commit to it. And I just want to like my reason for it. So, you know, kind of think about last night and if you would do something differently in the future, or if you would do something, you know, do it the same way, just decide that, commit to it for the future and just move forward. So it's all just a practice of, you know, imperfectly moving forward with the best,
yes,
decisions you can, and learning from maybe not the best decisions that you make, and you just keep going. And, you know, and really kind of the only consistent thing is you just don't ever quit.
Right.
You're always just learning. You're always either succeeding or you're learning. You know, you're never failing unless you quit.
Excuse me. Last night I did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was only in that frame of mind for maybe 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, what is going on? Get over this. You can make this choice.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel really good about, mm-hmm, that. Because
so the next time maybe it can only be like 30 minutes or so, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you just kind of build up from there. It's not like you're not ever going to be you know, mad, pissed again or something like that, right? It's like you don't expect perfection, but just slow, steady progress.
Right.
You know what to do. You know, just focus on the four basics, focus on your thoughts, and just keep going. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Good to talk
to you. So much. Good to talk to you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's see who this is. JMO. Hi.
Hi. Yay.
How are you? What's your name?
My name's Jen.
Jen. Okay. Yeah. All right. What's up, Jen?
I'm a June baby. I've just been doing this program for a few weeks.
Yes.
Super motivated and doing a really awesome job. So I'm, you know, really pleased with that. I was listening to the podcast before I actually joined PNP. So I kind of, I had some general ideas about what to expect, but man, I've been doing so much work and I'm doing really well. I've lost 13 pounds since I started.
Wow.
Have been meeting a lot of my personal goals and the thing I'm having a problem with, and it's the module I haven't gotten to yet, is the fat girl thinking.
Okay.
So here's my thing. I'm doing so well with the planning and the writing and just, I don't know if I'm ready to move forward because I'm scared that if I move forward, Mama. It's going to open up
Mama.
Just more worms and get more complicated. And I'm not good enough at the 24-hour meal plans and all the other stuff. So on the one hand, I know that it would be beneficial for me to listen to those and start moving forward, but I'm also just scared because I don't want to derail my progress at this point.
Yeah. I mean, you've kind of got, two choices to choose from, right? And it's like you want to, I mean, you can make any choice you want, but you just want to come from a place of, you don't want to come from a place of fear in terms of the decision you make. So if you want to stay, you know, just keep doing your plan and stay with the four basics for a while, you don't want to do that from a place of just fear of moving forward.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, or you can, you know, move forward and you just want that to come from a place, a positive place too. So it's really like you just have a decision to make. I mean, you know, there's no right answer. There's no right or wrong answer.
I thought you were going to tell me what to do.
No, that's not what, unfortunately, that's not what I do as a coach.
Yeah.
So it's always, I don't know. It's kind of fun when someone wants me to just tell them what to do. And I'm like, it's up to you. So, I mean, but most of the time, you know, in your gut kind of what the right decision, or I don't want to say the right decision is, because there is no right or wrong decision. There's just a decision. So
I know that I've been working very hard for the pounds and for the work that I've been doing. And if it slows, I need to be able to accept that because it's part of the process, and that I just can't be go, 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 you know, for the next, however long it takes me, that there's going to be these periods where I have to learn or else it's going to come back. So
right.
I know I need to go forward, but I just, the fear is substantial.
And so here's the thing. So I really want you to do a bunch of writing around your fear. Like, what are you really scared of? And what is the worst that could happen? I mean, I want you to I was listening to another coaching call the other day. It wasn't on here. It was on PNP. But it was like, you know, when someone jumps out at you and scares you, you know?
Yeah.
And you get scared. It's like you need to work on the person just keep jumping out and scaring you. Yeah. Because what you're really afraid of is probably not near as scary as you think, right?
Yeah.
And so when you face your fear and really go there to that place of like, what is the worst that could happen? Let's say you just quit losing weight, or you maybe even gain a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
So let's go there.
Yeah.
Okay. So what?
I mean, it would just, in my mind, mentally, I know logically that it's just part of the process and that I have to work through it. And that if I keep making good choices and keep doing my 24-hour plans, that eventually it'll just happen. It can't not happen if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So logically, I know that. But when you say that, it's like a knife in my gut, just thinking about weight loss stopping or gaining. And it's bad.
Well, and the other thing is that even if you just kept doing the four basics, one of these days it's going to slow down anyway. And then, I mean, and eventually you're going to stop anyway, because you're going to get to, you know, where you don't lose any more weight, yeah, you know, eventually. And so it's better to actually practice, you know, to let your, at least let your mind go there now, so that when you do get to your goal weight, or, you know, when you do end up getting to where you want to stop, you're not afraid of that and you're not scared. So all of this is just going the way it's supposed to go, because you're facing your fears ahead of time. And, you know, and it's just all about, like, you know how to lose weight. You're doing it now, you know. And so anytime you stop, you know how to go back to it.
Yeah.
And you just have to trust yourself that you know what to do.
To do the process, and also, you know, that I can not get on and get off, but, like, there might be some diversions here and there as I work through some of my fat girl thinking.
Yes, yes. But there doesn't have to be, because, I mean, it's all about what you put in your mouth or what you don't put in your mouth.
Yeah.
And if, you know, it's just all about choices. So if you can really kind of drill down those four basics into these just four specific actions, and then your thought work is over here, you know, you don't have to stop losing weight necessarily.
Well, I hope that's how it goes, but my fear is that it won't. And you're right. I just need to move forward and just let what will be.
Yes.
All right. I guess I'm done.
Okay. Well, but I definitely want you to do some writing about what you're really scared of, what your fears are, and just let yourself go there. Let yourself write it out. What's the worst that could happen? And just, you know, face your fears now, and don't, you know, kind of live in fear of that person jumping out at you, you know?
All right. I'll do some nighttime writing once this guy takes a little bit of time.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Let's see. That was a good call, y'all, for all of y'all to really think about, right? And just, you know, your fears in general. It's, you know, you can live in fear, or you can really face your fears and process exactly what, I mean, just get real about your fear. And is the fear really real, or is it just in your mind? Really, really good work for y'all to do. Okay, Melody, you're up next. Okay. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you, though.
Oh, do I need to hit something?
Let me see. I think I can ask you to start your video. I just did that.
Yep.
Okay. There you are. Hi.
There. Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's really quiet. Like, I can barely hear you.
Oh, well, I don't know. Do you need to turn up your phone or?
Yeah, it's up.
Okay. I can hear you fine.
Okay. I don't really know where to start. I'm an April baby. Mm-hmm. I kind of have a lot going on. So nighttime eating is, like, mostly my biggest thing, but there's, like, so 13 years ago, I got sober off of meth, and I pretty much ate my way sober. So that's kind of been a huge thing. And I went to, like, I gambled for a little bit, and I did pills for a little bit, but been sober for a long time. So nighttime, like, during the day, I follow my plan perfect. Like, I have, like, a yogurt and a banana for breakfast and a salad or leftovers for lunch. And I'm really good at, like, I think I'm eating to my two. I haven't been getting full in a long time. Mm-hmm. And so nighttime then, I've struggled with, like, loneliness a lot. I've been single up until this last October since I was 20 and I'm like 38. So, I, like, when I was lonely, I would just eat, like, every night forever. So now at night, like, after my boyfriend goes to bed, cause I'm with him now and things are awesome. Mm-hmm. And, after he goes to bed, like, I need to eat, like, I crave food so bad that if I'm not eating, it triggers, like, makes me feel like I want to use. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never going to use. It's just like I'm fine with my sobriety, but mm-hmm. it just triggers, like, that horrible feeling of not doing it is, like, really bad. And I eat. And then I'm also taking medication that I take at like 8 or 9 at night that needs protein to start working. That makes me go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't just sleep on my own. I need medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I started planning a peanut butter and jelly at night,
mm-hmm.
but that's like, I think a lot. And I eat a ton of fruit. I have fruit planned like 2-3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what else to say.
Okay. So you've got to eat something in the evening to take your medicine.
Yeah. Like protein.
Okay. So what could this, but you're thinking that the peanut butter and jelly is more than you need.
Yeah. It's about right because, it works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's enough. I don't know. I haven't found like smaller things. I've had like a protein shake or a protein bar, mm-hmm. but like that was never enough.
So when you say it wasn't enough, what does it need to do for you to be enough?
Make me sleepy. So even okay. when I eat like a peanut butter and jelly, like it'll, and it's late. Like I eat dinner at 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm actually like legit hungry around 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like a go to bed early thing. It just doesn't work like that. So that, my medicine kicks in when I eat and then it makes me sleepy.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you take your medicine, and then it works, right?
Yeah. Well, it takes a couple hours. Like it's mm-hmm. usually when I eat, it's usually about 2 hours still before I get sleepy. If mm-hmm. I don't eat protein, it's like 4 or 5 hours before I'll go to sleep.
Okay. So what time do you usually eat the sandwich and take the medicine?
About 11:30 or 12.
Okay. So, but you don't want to do that earlier?
I could try. I usually take my pills at like 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just didn't want to like pass out super early.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it depends on how much sleep you want to get, right? I mean, you know, that's all up to you. I mean, and the sandwich is fine, but are you eating other stuff at night besides the sandwich?
Usually, I've been having watermelon, not just fruit. Sometimes, mm-hmm. like, if my urge is so bad and, like, I'm hungry, I'll have a sandwich. And then sometimes when I eat, like, I literally can't stop. Like I'll go to like a protein bar and I'll make like ham, like cheese rolled up in ham slices.
Mm-hmm.
So, and ice cream, like sometimes if it's really bad, I'll just like eat a lot.
So when you say really bad,
I would say probably three or four nights a week.
What do you mean when you say it's really bad? How do you define?
Like, just like the feeling of not eating, just like, an urge, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done the urges course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like something's just not clicking. Like I feel like it's so hard not to just do it. Like it makes me, I'm so uncomfortable sometimes that like I have to eat. The feeling is like almost unbearable.
Yeah. And I think for you, it's a matter of practicing allowing that urge because you have, you know, you've had a life of, you know, a lot of urges, right? And
yeah.
So, and you know, in the past you've responded to those urges, but it's still just an urge and there's no urge that is stronger or than any other. And so I think it's important for you to think, you know, to not even talk about how an urge is really strong or an urge is really bad. It's just an urge.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it like triggers the feelings of when I was trying to get sober though.
Yeah.
And like the feeling to use is like, it's bad.
Well, and I mean, I think, you know, it's probably going to bring back your feelings of when you were, you know, when you had urges for drugs. And I think for you, it's, you know, practicing sitting with those urges. I mean, if you want to ultimately want to lose weight, you're going to have to learn to allow urges and not respond to them with food.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think for you right now, it's a matter of planning the sandwich when you need to take your medicine, but you don't get, but no other food than that after dinner.
Okay.
So you have your dinner and then you have your sandwich. So let's just start there where you
have. Well, you should know that when I have dinner, mm-hmm. every day I have an ice cream sandwich planned. Like immediately after dinner, I just like, I want sugar. So I have an ice cream sandwich like planned with my dinner in the S column, like, mm-hmm. or with the dinner column, not even the snack column. Mm-hmm. So is that still too, is that too much if I just have like the ice cream? It's like a little cookie sandwich and mm-hmm. then sandwich at night. Would that still be too much?
Well, I mean, you just kind of have to see, but it's, I mean, you know, if you plan it and it's part of your plan, are you following your hunger scale?
Yeah, not at night. Like nighttime is just the worst, but during the day, yes. I've been really good at stopping. Like, I'm not sure if it's a two, I was doing like the, when I would sigh, but that's literally mm-hmm. after like two bites, I start sighing when I'm eating.
So that's probably not your sign of being at a plus two.
Yeah. So trying to like find a specific, when I hit it, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely eating less with dinner.
Okay. I just say like, I say you still do your dinner, you still do your ice cream, and then you still do your peanut butter sandwich when you need to take your medicine. But nothing else that, you know, before or after your sandwich. And that you just start practicing allowing those urges during that time in the evening, like before you have your sandwich and after.
Okay.
And then I want you to go back through that urges course. And, you know, Corinne gives like a 5-step process for allowing your urges, missing your
urges.
I've
been doing the 90-second thing. Okay. And it's just like nothing.
Like, are you actually counting down? Like you're saying the numbers and counting down? Okay. Well, just keep practicing that. And just keep practicing. You know, it's not going to, you may still end up eating. But just keep practicing and just keep going with it. But there's also other parts of that 5-step process. There's, you know, kind of being aware of the urge, not, you know, I don't have it here with me, but, you know, just, I want you to get really, really curious and maybe even like do some journaling while you're having urges and just really listen to what your brain is saying. Because like I said, you kind of have this, you know, this history with urges and you're used to, I mean, like you kind of replace the drugs with food.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
Yeah. And so now it's time for you to replace, you know, just allowing urges, you know, instead of the food. And so
it's like something else to replace it with.
Well, and I mean, it's sitting with urges. It's, you know, I mean, and you can do other activities too. I mean, that's part of that 5-step process where you kind of do other activities, right? That feel like, you know, self-care to you. And so I want you to kind of, that's all explained in there in that course. So
last 10 years or so, I'm a knitter. So I've always just knit at night and that's pretty much how I've been getting through. Mm-hmm. And now just this last year, I have rheumatoid arthritis and it's so bad. I can't knit anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made it a lot worse.
So I want you to find some other things that you can do, some other activities. And again, there's a worksheet at the very end of the Buffering and Urges course that has you kind of come up with things. Because I think for you, it's a matter of kind of interrupting your brain. When you get an urge, you know, you just get totally focused on it. And so I want you to kind of come up with some things where you can interrupt that urge. You know, counting down is one of them where that just kind of interrupts your brain from just totally focusing on the urge. But you're going to need to have several different kind of tools in your tool belt to draw from for you to, you know, to keep practicing sitting with these urges. So go back through that course and really focus on that 5-step process. And then really come up with some specific things that you can do. And this sounds like at night when you will have time to do some other things. and to really focus on what you can do when you have these urges to kind of interrupt your mind from just totally focusing on them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of go back to that course with this specific situation in mind and see what you can come up with that 5-step process and how you can kind of come up with a plan, and then start practicing that. And then if you still need some, if you kind of start practicing it and you're still not having much success, get back on here or post and ask coaches, and then we'll help you further. But I think that's a good start for you.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right, Sonia. Sonia, Robin, and Nicole are up next.
Okay, what do I do?
Hello. Let me ask you to start your video. I don't know, maybe we have to start doing that now. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Can you see me?
Yes.
Okay. I am I don't know what I am. I'm a January baby.
Okay.
I haven't quite made it through BS.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to explain the model.
Okay.
I've read it. I've seen some of the things on, I've seen some of the, in the bonus. I just don't get it. And I just didn't know if you could just do a couple.
Okay.
I've seen them done. I don't get it.
Okay. Tell me kind of explain what you don't get or what you do get and what you need help with?
I understand the thought. No, I don't. I don't understand any of it.
Okay.
So let's say, I don't understand like the circumstances. Everyone keeps saying, oh, but that's just a thought. That's just a thought. That's not a circumstance.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Let me get my little whiteboard. Hold on just a second.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So I'm like, I have been, I keep starting and stopping and starting and stopping. And, I've been overeating, like I'm in a stressful work situation. And so I guess in my mind, it's because of the work situation that I'm overeating. And I guess I'm trying to figure out, the models can cure everything. So I just want to know how to do it.
Well, I don't know about that. So that
I know, be... I'm ready. I have my book.
Okay, so tell me about this work situation, because we can use that as an example for the model.
Okay, so I have, I'm in an office, and outside of my office are three cubicles, and I'm kind of going through some mean girl bullying with the ladies in the cubicles.
Okay.
So, it's kind of clicky thing. And I think I'm going through menopause because I'm a little touchy. But it's been very stressful at work. So I feel like I just keep putting food in my mouth.
Okay. Maybe it's so I don't say anything. Like the last time you actually overate, tell me exactly what happened then.
So I planned to have cheese and nuts, like a little individual prepackaged thing. And I had some extra nuts just in case. And I made the mistake of bringing the whole box in. So I had like 5 prepackaged things of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting there and I ate one and I was okay. And then they all got giggly and loud and chatty. And I put my headphones in. But then I just reached for another little packet of nuts, and then all 5 packets were gone.
Okay. Okay. So here's the part. I don't know if this can be backwards or not, but.
No, I know it's right.
Okay. So we got the model here. And so you know the different parts of the model: circumstance, thought, yep, feeling, action, result. So we've got your action filled in already. You overate the nuts.
Yep.
So what, I'm going to kind of quiz you here a little bit. So what do you think your circumstance is? What are the facts of this situation?
I'm upset.
Mm-mm. That's a feeling. Upset is a feeling.
I'm excluded.
Oh, that's another feeling. That's another feeling. So what, here, let me give you one fact. You had five packages of nuts.
Yes.
So that's a fact, right? Let's put that in the circumstance line.
Okay.
Because a circumstance is a fact that everyone would agree on. So if I went to your office this morning, you know, or whenever before you ate the nuts, I would see five packages in your purse or on your desk. Yep. Okay. Another example of a circumstance is a direct quote of what someone said. Because again, that's something that could be proven in court or that could everyone would agree on. So what is a direct quote that one of your, you know, your coworkers said when you said they were giggling and all of that?
They've all got, they're all on paleo.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all got Fitbits. And mm-hmm. so they're talking about the, I guess the steps that they've done
mm-hmm.
yesterday and today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
that would be a circumstance.
Well, and I'm saying, like, I'm writing in here, coworkers said, and it would be a direct quote.
Okay.
So you had five packages of nuts on your, it's kind of hard to read, I know. It's five packages of nuts on your desk, and your coworkers said blank.
Okay.
Yeah, I've gotten 10,000 steps today.
Okay.
So what is your thought about that?
They're speaking.
You said you were upset.
Yeah, they're, okay, I'm excluded.
I'm excluded. What do you make it mean that you're excluded?
That they're intentionally not involving me in their activities.
Okay. Why do you think they're not doing that?
One of them is kind of mean. And I feel like the others just kind of rally around her so that they're not targeted like I've been.
Hmm. Okay. I'm gonna say one of your thoughts is I'm excluded.
Okay.
You got a lot of thoughts, right, about them.
Too many thoughts, yeah.
And the other thing about the model, you know, you can do a model on every single one of those different thoughts.
Okay.
Right? And so, like, that's why we have you all do journaling and write about, like, this kind of situation.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, and when I ask you, like, what do you make it mean that you're excluded? What, you know, and if you feel upset, why do you feel upset? You know, all of those kind of things can kind of help you get your thoughts out.
Okay.
And so, you know, all of that kind of stuff, just you want to get your thoughts out about this entire situation. So, but let's just, so when you think I'm excluded, so we've got our model here. Yep. How do you feel?
Sad.
And so when you're sad, you overeat.
Yes. And you know what? It's probably more lonely.
Mm. Okay. That's interesting because, let me get my eraser here. Lonely. So you think I'm excluded, you feel lonely, and so you overeat. And your result, it always goes back up and proves your thought true. So, and when you overeat, you're usually sitting at your desk by yourself, right? Eating?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so your result is that you exclude yourself. Because you're sitting at your desk by yourself overeating. And so you're proving your thought true that you are excluded.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No.
Okay. The result can be, I don't want to say tricky, but the result can be, if you just remember that it goes back up and proves your thought true, like when you think, let's kind of flesh out your thought a little bit. When you think I'm excluded, tell me more about that. What do you make that mean that I'm excluded?
Well, I just, like I said, the primary person,
mm-hmm.
Will talk loudly about watching a show with the others outside my office,
mm-hmm.
so that she wants me to know that, they're all doing stuff, but they're not including me in it,
mm-hmm.
type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just me. She's like this with other people as well,
mm-hmm.
but it ratcheted up a level, a few levels a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
She made a mistake. I pointed it out to her. She said, well, I suppose you told our boss. And I said, no, I came to you so you could fix it, because everyone makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, she really ratcheted it up. So it's she's just a mean person. So that shouldn't make me eat.
Right. And that's another thought, is that she's a mean person.
Yeah.
Right. That's not a fact, because I might meet her and not think that she's mean.
Yeah.
So that's another thought that you could model. She's mean.
Okay. So the reaction.
The result, you mean?
The result,
mm-hmm.
ends up going back to the thought?
Yes. So.
How do I stop eating?
You have to think differently.
Okay.
So how do you want to think about this whole situation? Let's say the circumstance doesn't change. You still have 5 packages of nuts on your desk. Right. I mean, let's just go back to the, let's say you can redo the situation. What, you have 5 packages and the coworker says the same thing.
Okay.
Nothing changes. Nothing has to change.
My thought could be, is this my unintentional?
No, we just did the unintentional, because that results in the result that you don't want.
Okay. So the unintentional is the result I don't want.
Right.
Okay. So if I want to do it intentionally, I should just say that I'm thinking it, I'm not interested in what they're talking about.
That can be a thought for sure. Do you believe that? Or do you?
Well, I'm really not.
Is that true?
Yes. I'm not really interested in it. It just kind of irritates me that they're doing it in a way to exclude me.
But that's your thought. That's a thought that you're choosing. That's not the truth.
Okay.
You can think of it however you want. You can just think they're just saying words.
Okay.
I am totally in control of how I think and feel about it.
That's the key, right?
Right.
Okay. So I can just think they're talking about whatever, and it doesn't matter. Okay.
Has nothing to do with me. They can say whatever they want.
Yep.
Good for them that they got their steps in today. You know, you can think whatever you want, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then I guess my feelings are just not really anything, because it's neutral. It doesn't.
Yeah. And, but how do you want to feel about just them saying anything?
I just don't want it to, I don't want it to upset me.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I guess I just want it to be, like if I, you walk into the lunchroom and people are having a conversation, you don't react to their conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just two people having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like it's outside my, like directly outside my door, so I can hear it. So I cut. It's I don't want to, I guess I don't want to give them the reaction that they're trying to get. Does that make sense?
Well, but you don't, but you don't, but again, it's another thought that you think that they're trying to get a reaction out of you.
Okay.
You know, it's that none of that is a fact. And so you can just think anything you want.
Okay.
About this. And I mean, but you want the action to be to follow your plan, right? You want the action to be to not overeat. So I don't know that just a neutral feeling is going to create that action of not overeating.
Okay.
So how do you think you need to feel to not overeat?
I don't know.
I mean, I'll give you neutral. I'll give you neutral this time. We don't do neutral a whole lot, but let's just do that.
I don't want to, you know, I can't say I want to be happy for them.
No.
I just don't know what kind of a feeling.
Okay. So if you want to feel neutral, how do you want to think?
I just want to not think. Oh, that people are having a conversation just amongst themselves. You know, that's it.
Okay. So they're just having a conversation. Nothing, you know, nothing to do with me.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I want to, that's how I want to think.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Cause when I mean neutral, I mean, like, I don't want it to have an effect on my feelings,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And as you can see in the model here, what has an effect on your feelings?
The result.
No, that what has an effect on your feelings is your thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so the only thing that has an effect on your feelings.
Yes.
That's the only thing that creates feelings is your thoughts.
Okay. Okay. So if I don't think they're talking about, if it's got nothing to do with me, then I don't really have a feeling about it and it's not going to cause me an action.
Right. I mean, because it's, you know, you're going to just feel neutral and then you're just going to go about your day.
Exactly.
Following your plan or whatever, you know, you're planning to do.
Okay. So I can see that.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like after you have this thought, uh-huh. it's like the model just kind of stops. You know, it's like you don't, I mean, you always have models running all the time, but I mean, this is just the time where like you think this, you're like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. And then you just kind of go on and you start running other models, you know, in your mind. So it's like, it's almost like it kind of stops right here.
Okay. And so I just
nothing to do
prevent with it from going to the next. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think it's just, yeah. I mean, I think for you, it was good for you to kind of, I mean, and a lot of other people too, it's just good to kind of understand how the model runs. You know, it runs in this order. You have something happen, you know, a fact. You have all these facts that are just in your life that you can't necessarily change, that you can't control. And then but everything else after the C line, you can control.
Okay.
And so I think, so, I mean, this was a really good example to kind of, you know, show that.
Sorry. No. So the unintentional is where you almost don't control the thoughts. You just allow them to happen.
No, you always control them. I mean, you always, you know, you always have all these thoughts going on at one time and you choose to kind of attach to them or not. Right. Okay. And so you're going to continue to have a thought like, oh, they're talking about me or they're excluding me.
Yeah.
But you just choose to like hear that and then say, no, I'm not going to, you know, attach to that. I'm not going to, you know, acknowledge that. And I'm just going to decide to think instead that it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to move on. So it's important to know that, I mean, those thoughts will still come in because they're practiced. You know, you've practiced them for a long time. But you can choose to just allow them to come in and then dismiss them and just say, you know, thank you, brain, for reminding me of what I used to think, but I'm not going to acknowledge, you know, I'm not going to respond to that anymore. And I am going to take control of, you know, of my thoughts and my brain and just say, you know, and just believe, practice believing that it has nothing to do with me. And what we talk about with these bridging thoughts is you can start with like, I'm working on believing that, that this has nothing to do with me. You know, if you don't quite believe that yet, then you can kind of start with that. And you, I'm working on believing what the, you know, what they say has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what they do has nothing to do with me or something like that. You know, you can start with that. And if that's a more believable thought to you,
yeah,
that'll be easier for you to practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll just take one packet of nuts to work.
That's another good way to do it. But, you know, you could have 100 packs of nuts, you know, at work.
No,
and
I can't.
If you decide through your thoughts that this is true, this is how powerful your thoughts are, and this is for everyone. You could have a plate of cakes in front of you. And if you decide that, you know, I am not going to eat this because I don't want to for whatever reason, you know, you can control yourself through your thoughts always.
I have an accountability partner, and she was at a conference last week, and she showed, she took a picture of the table with pastries, and I texted her back and I said, people probably don't wash their hands after the bathroom and that she shouldn't touch them. And she, when I spoke to her next time, she said, just that image, she said she wasn't going.
I mean, that's how powerful your thoughts are, right? Yeah. I mean, you can just decide that a bunch of people have been breathing on that stuff and like spitting on it. Yeah. And because the only circumstance is that you have a plate of pastries. Right. Yeah, I mean, those are the facts.
Okay.
You can just decide that, you know, I don't want to eat them because people have been breathing on them.
Okay. And so that's the thought.
That's your thought.
Okay.
That's your thought. And so, yeah. And so that will lead you to like a feeling of disgust or, you know, something like that. And then your action is you don't eat them.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's, that's, you know, you can decide to think whatever you want about anything, and it doesn't even have to be true. You know, you don't know if that stuff, how fresh that stuff is or not, but you can make up whatever you want, you know, to get the result, the ultimate result that you want. That's what's so powerful about our brains. So,
okay. Thank you.
This was a really good question. I'm so glad, 'cause I love to teach about the model. So,
oh, well, good.
Yes. So I want you to start practicing them. And then what we love to do in Ask Coaches is for y'all to post your models, and then we give you feedback on them. So you can keep, you can do that. People do those, that all the time. So just don't not do them because you think that they're not going to be right or whatever, because the model is always a exercise in, you know, scratching things out and, you know, putting other things in, but it's just, you just have to keep practicing them, and it's never a perfect, you know, you never get to where you just do them perfectly.
Okay. Oh, and I just found the bonus for basics course today.
Oh, good.
And I, that's really, that's helpful. So.
Good. Yeah. Guys. Yeah. I mean, all those bonus courses.
Great.
Yeah. And we're actually next month for the Gift of Fat, the July, the July course. It's not even really a course. It's just going to be kind of like a big challenge that we're all going to be doing. It's all going to be focused on the basics and stuff. And so that's right along with what we're going to be doing in July.
Thank you.
Just losing
really
weight.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye. All right. That was fun. Okay. So that was Sonia, right? Model. Okay. All right. Robin, Nicole, and Lilybet. Hey. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yes. What's going on?
All right. Well, you guys did really well with everything. I actually was on from the beginning, which I didn't think I'd be able to, with my kids and everything, or my daughter and my husband and my grandkids are over tonight. Okay. And that was Sonia that was just on, right?
Yes.
Tell her thank you very much. That was very good because I just learned from that too. So that was really good. My thing was you had commented and so many others did on my post because I wanted to quit the other day. And still borderline on it. And I think I'm borderline just because I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing, you know, if I'm not going to get it, if I'm not going to get my money's worth, it's funny. It's like Corinne talks about the food thing where you have your food on your plate and you can't throw it away because, you know, you're not going to waste. Well, it's that same thing. If I'm not going to do the work, then why the heck am I here? Mm-hmm. But I'm so dang overwhelmed with life that I can't see how to be able to fit everything in.
Okay.
By the time I sit down, I mean, this has been the hour that I've never, ever had. I can hear, this has been hard because I can hear my 6-year-old with my 8-year-old granddaughter out there.
Oh, shoot.
Asleep.
Oh, you're freezing up.
Am I there?
I think you're there. Okay, there you go.
But I have the grandsons did really good and they fell asleep. I'm helping my daughter because she has her own issues. She's working full time. She's amazing. She's 27. She's working full time. Are going to college full time, working as many hours as she can. So when she gets called into work, I take the kids because the father of the kids, they've been together since middle school. They've lived together since she was 18. I hate him, but you know, he's a jerk and doesn't want to take care of his kids. So, you know, he won't take care of them. So I take care of them. So anyway, but then I have my husband sitting down there in his wheelchair waiting on me, and I have not heard him holler up that he needs the bathroom yet. So, this is like really an odd hour that I've had, but usually when I sit down to do anything, it's at night after everybody is settled. And that's when everything happens. So that means for me, it's kind of like what one of the other girls said earlier on with you, is only she has had her addictions in the past. And at nighttime, that's when everything floods. Well, I have everything that I'm doing all day long, and I'm so busy with it all that I don't have the freedom to be able to go and do everything. That in itself is already overwhelming because I'm overwhelmed with the fact that since my husband's accident, I'm nothing but the primary caretaker. And so I'm overwhelmed with not being able to go anywhere and do anything. And the services aren't there, you know, for me to be able to just go and do whatever I need to. That by the end of the day, the overwhelming everything from the day,
you're still thinking that it's all these things.
Yeah.
It's the facts of your life that are overwhelming you.
And yeah, everything.
It's not. It's your thoughts that are overwhelming you.
Right. And that's what I'm hearing you say with the other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I agree with them. It's hard to grasp it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a practice of, you know, really. It takes a while for that to understand that and to realize that that is what is happening. And right. So, yeah, I mean, but it's, but it's a matter of being open to it and, you know, deciding that you're going to be open to it and to understand it, you know, over time, that, you know, that all of
fit it in, you know, that my biggest thing is, how do I fit this in? How do I lost 30 pounds before joining in January. Mm-hmm. The minute I started with the podcasts and the free stuff, you know, all of those podcasts, did the basics, and all, I had no problem. Mm-hmm. November and December, I had no problem. And then the circumstances, again, it's like I put in my post, the circumstances happened again and overwhelmed, and the depression sits in, the anxiety sets in. And so you get overwhelmed, but how do you fight that? It's like,
well, you don't fight it, for starters. I mean, why would you want to fight something when you would you have other choices to, you know, you have other ways that you could think about it? I mean, do you think the only option is to fight depression and overwhelm?
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, because at least for me, that's how I feel. Because
mm-hmm. Those are your thoughts about it, that you have to fight it.
Right. Because
it has to be hard.
Right. Because when I feel overwhelmed, that's just how it feels to me, is when I am overwhelmed, it feels like a fight. It feels like a battle. It's a battle mm-hmm. to get out of it and to change my mind from thinking that overwhelming feeling. It's hard. I don't know how to explain it. I just don't know how to explain it. And I don't know.
Okay. So let's go back to what you said about how do you fit it all in? Like mm-hmm. with PNP, how do you define mm-hmm. it? Like it, how do you define PNP? What do you think is required?
The PNP piece is the majority of what, I mean, I'm able to listen to a podcast with headphones on, so I can fit that kind of thing in. That's great. And I can listen to the podcast. I can do this. I'm lucky that I did this, but I can always listen to the replay in the middle of the night, because that's what happens. I wake up in the middle of the night a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'll pop my headphones in. Mm-hmm. It's doing the paperwork. It's writing and journaling. The thing is if I didn't have to turn on a light at the times that are available for me to do it, if I didn't have to turn on a light, that would be great. If there's a way, how, I don't know how to use my phone there's got to be some kind of an app that I can journal on. You know what I mean? So
journaling is not one of the four basics. I mean, it's extra stuff. I mean, if you want to lose weight, it's the four basics. It's what you were doing before you even joined.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you know, the journaling and all of that work are great, but they're extra and they're not required for weight loss. Because you weren't doing that when you lost your weight before you joined, right?
Right.
I mean, you could just keep doing that.
So I'm making it harder than it should be.
Yeah. You're thinking all this other stuff is required when it's not. You know, it's all extra. All the coaching calls, all the Facebook group, there are people who are losing tons of weight and they are not on Facebook. You know, that's a totally extra mm-hmm. optional part of our group. Of our membership. So, I mean, you know, all the bonus courses, all of that is that, you know, it's not required for weight loss. And I think you're here to lose weight. I mean, go back mm-hmm. to the basics. Go back to what was working for you before. You were doing the four basics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then just stop. The rest is just my overeating, the emotional piece.
The rest, because
everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, and when you you can choose to work on, you know, your thought work and stuff. And it's definitely your thoughts that are creating the overwhelm.
Right.
But, you know, when you have time, you can work on that piece. But that's not something that has to, that's not something that has to be part of, you know, that's not anything that's required for your weight loss.
But it helps to keep it away, and it helps, it helps me to succeed because of the fact that, if I don't figure out and stop with the, emotional overeating, then I'm never going to get the, you know, the core basics mean nothing if I don't stop that crap.
Right.
You
know? Right.
So at, you still have to face that piece in myself, you know, so somewhere along the line, I've still got to do some work somewhere that's going to help me get through the mental BS. So,
okay. So let's say 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes of journaling a day. Could you find 10 minutes a day somewhere?
If I just don't shut off, you know, the lights, or I can go to a different room. If they're all sleeping, then I can just go to a different part of the house.
Okay.
And then I could do that. So if I'm going to be awake anyway, just go to a different room. Go to a different section. Put the baby monitor up where my husband is so that if he wakes, he needs me. So I could do that.
What other things do you do? Do you ever watch TV? Do you ever look at Facebook?
Well, yeah. I mean, that again, at night in the dark, I can look at Facebook on my phone. That's not waking anybody up. That's not bothering anybody. You know what I mean? That's why I'm like, I could, if I could figure out how to use my phone to, journal, if I could fit, I don't know how to do it, you know, so I only know how to go on and do this stuff I just learned. So if there was a way to be able to, I don't even know if there's an app for journaling.
There's your notes app on your phone where you just can type in a note, and you could, I mean, if you want to type on your phone, you could do that. But like you said, you could also go to a different room and just type, you know, just write into a notebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just determined to do something and think about it myself, because there are options.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of opening your mind to
what? When you're the mental crap just gets you stuck, you know, the anxiety, depression, overwhelming feelings, they just get you stuck to where you can't think outside the box. So even when it's right in front of you. So yeah, just got to do it.
Just got to do it. And I want you to, when you do start, I want you to think about, okay, I feel all these things, right? I feel anxiety. I feel overwhelmed. What am I thinking that's creating these feelings? Because that's how the model works, right? You
know, right.
You have all these circumstances with your husband and everything, your kids and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. But what are you thinking that it's, you know, those circumstances aren't creating your feelings. It's your thoughts.
Yeah. And as you were explaining that, I put down notes. So that now I can go back to that. So I understand that a little bit better. I did the same as her. As I watched the podcast or the teaching, the modules that talk about that, but, I wasn't getting it through that. So it was nice to be able to see you explain it that way with her and work through it with her. That was better for me. So I get that. Okay. We're good.
Someone said, there are pens that have a small light that lets you see what you are writing. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different ideas that, you know, that you could figure out in terms of how to type, you know, in the dark, but, you know, probably relocating to a different room would probably be the best, you know, the best solution, but just kind of, you know, get creative in terms of just, okay, how could I fit in 10 minutes a day just to write, just to dump, you know, dump things out in my mind and just kind of start getting aware of what I'm thinking.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right.
See you later, Robin. Bye. Keep it posted. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
There we go. Okay. Hey, Nicole.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to show Robin my tiny book light.
Oh, I have one of those too. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love it.
Okay.
All right, what's up?
I'm a little nervous. I am an April baby or teenager now. I don't know. I feel like I'm doing so great. I'm doing the work. I'm listening to the calls. I've got an accountability partner and group. And I guess this might be like a two-part thing, but I'm not really losing weight. And I heard on a coaching call last week, it kind of like shocked me. And Kathy's like, well, the reason you're not losing weight is because you're still overeating. And she like crunched the numbers on all the bites. And I was like, oh crap, that's me. You know, it's like all, even though I'm eating wholesome foods, it's like all these small bites are adding up. And it's just like, I feel like I can't stop. There's that. And then, okay. Oh God. Okay.
Take your time.
I used to have like really bad anxiety. Like not just like, oh shit, I have anxiety, like agoraphobia. I was disabled literally. You know, I couldn't drive, I couldn't leave the house, I couldn't talk to people who came to the door, like really, really bad. And I'm pleased to say that I've worked through all that. And that's in my past now. But during that process, I gained like this, these 30, 35 pounds. And I don't know if I'm just like holding on to that for dear life, because I'm like so afraid of feeling that again. But it's not like fear when I'm overeating. I'm just like, this is delicious. I don't want to stop, you know, but I haven't had a panic attack in probably like 8 months. And I had one yesterday morning, doing the Hunger Scale Challenge at like 9:30. I was sent out for work to go like drive about 90 miles. And I was really hungry. And I have some other personal stuff going on in my life, and I don't know if I had a panic attack because I was so hungry, but it was a real one. Like I had to pull off the road and breathe. And so I don't know. I just was journaling and I'm like, is this connected? Like, am I like subconsciously like continuing to eat these bites? Cause I don't want to ever feel that way again. Like,
what did you come up with?
I didn't really have a clear answer. I feel like I'm ready to be my best self, you know? I feel like I'm ready to put that completely behind me. I don't have any answers. I guess that's why I'm here. Because I really do just feel like when I'm eating, like, this is so delicious. Like, I can't leave this avocado behind or, like, the good stuff. Or it's only 3 bites. It's only 4 bites. Like, I'm not seeing a connection when I'm eating, except for yesterday morning when I did quickly eat my banana as soon as I started feeling anxious. But that hasn't happened the entire time I've been in the program. So
I think, I mean, you said you don't have an answer, and it's like, I don't have an answer either, right? It's like, you're just going to have to do it and see what happens in terms of, you know, it was kind of like what I was talking about with Jen, earlier about, you know, starting to do the thought work. Like, you're going to have to face your fears. You know, it's time to face your fears and what that means. And you, it's kind of a matter of asking yourself, am I willing to have panic attacks to figure this out? Because that's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, I don't ever feel like I'm willing to have one.
Right.
It's normally, I think yesterday was just, I don't know, but I can normally, I've done so much work on it. I can breathe. I smell my essential oils. I, you know, focus on a flower or whatever. Like, I have all these things that work really well. See, I got my oils going right now.
That's what I was thinking that was there.
I'm trying to be, I knew I'd be nervous. So I have all my stuff right here.
Yes.
So I can normally work through them.
But you can handle, I think for you, like, you can handle anything. And I think it's just a matter of reminding yourself of that and just telling yourself, you know what, I'm willing to handle anything to figure this out and to, you know, and to lose weight for good this time.
I am willing, and I feel like an A+ student with like a dirty secret.
None of us are A+ student. Well, none of us are A+ students, and none of us. Yeah. I mean, I think we're all kind of C+, and that's great, because I mean, we don't have to be A+, right?
Yeah.
That's the good news, is that we can be C+ students and still lose weight.
Yeah.
And because we're doing it in a way, we're doing it imperfectly, and we can just keep doing it imperfectly and it still works. I mean, that's the good news. But yeah, it's just a matter of when you visualize leaving that avocado behind when it's so good, you know, being okay. And, you know, just with whatever happens, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can visualize, you can, you know, work on your thought work around, you know, making decisions to leave food behind and that kind of stuff. But it's also just a matter of, you know what, whatever happens, I'm going to be okay.
I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so mind-blowing in hindsight to think, like, I could struggle with, like, 4 Brussels sprouts, you know, how am I letting that get in the way of my goal? You know, I have a ton of compelling reasons, you know, and I'm focused on them. And then,
but you're beating yourself up over 4 Brussels sprouts. And so you don't want to do that either. Like, you want to just be like, okay, this is the 4 Brussels sprouts are my thing to work on today. It's not a big deal. You know, this is my thing to work on. It doesn't mean that I'm you know, worse than anybody else in terms of, you know, my weight loss journey. This is just my challenge to work on today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to keep working and I'm never going to quit. And so, you know, it's about, you know, not comparing your journey to anybody else's and all that kind of stuff too, because that can, you know, that can trip you up too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's like a whole cake and sometimes it's 4 Brussels sprouts, you know? It depends on the day.
I did do a recovery worksheet today for 1 spoonful of peanut butter. I'm like,
there you go. Yeah. The Jen, who has lost 90 pounds and who's done like hundreds and hundreds of recovery worksheets, did one for 1 French fry one time. Really? And that's why she's lost 90 pounds, because she was, you know, she just owned up to everything and, you know, was, and never beat herself up and just said, I'm going to learn from this and move forward. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and that's what you're doing. You're just in it. And
I am.
Yeah.
I am proud of myself. Yeah. I feel like everything else I would have quit by now, especially with the results. I mean, I've only lost 5 pounds, but I I see so many positive changes, and I do focus on that, and I have great partners to help me remember that.
That's so
like,
good.
If you would have told me I was going to lose 5 pounds in 3 months, I would have been like, oh, there's no way I'm doing that. But I'm glad I am doing it, because so much.
Well, and you also think about everything else that you've learned and gone through, yeah. Right?
Tons. I'm like, my mind is blown. Like,
yes.
So much.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't do, is that they only focus on the weight loss or the numbers, and yeah, they don't realize how far they've come. They don't remind themselves of how far they've come, just mentally and, you know, habit wise and just, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it's so important for us to remind ourselves how far we've come in all areas, not just on the scale. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do I stop overeating? Ooh. Well, dinner's coming up.
It's one Brussels sprout at a time, right? It's one bite at a time.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what to do. You know how this goes. And so just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep
willing to be afraid and do the work.
Yes.
And
yes. Yes. Love it.
Okay.
You're doing
Thank
great.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. Brussels sprouts. I love the notes I take. All right. Lilybet. Love that name. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. My name's Beth.
Beth. Okay. All right. What's up, Beth?
So a lot of similarities to Robin, mm-hmm. very honestly. I find myself buffering a lot lately and just in general overeating, mostly off-plan overeating. And I am looking for help with a thought that will help me. Like right now, I'm not resisting a lot of urges to eat, which are emotional urges. And I just end up giving
in. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking now that's causing you to give in?
You know, I've done a few worksheets, recovery worksheets, mm-hmm. and a lot of the times it's like a general not good enough feeling. It's like I'm failing somewhere. Either the house is a mess or parenting skills could be better, mm-hmm. or, but like they tend to boil down to feeling like I'm not enough at something. And I just want to feel like I'm, you know, more in control of the food urges.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand I'm going to have to sit through a lot of urges mm-hmm. to build it up.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I feel like I'm just not doing very well on that front.
So have you practiced some thoughts already?
I feel like I don't have a really good thought when it comes okay. to, you know, saying no. And I mean, I would love for it to be a boss thought and feel like I'm on top of it, but I know you can't skip directly to no. the upper levels. At least I don't think you can.
Right. But yeah, but the reason I ask kind of what you have been thinking, I mean, you want to be aware of that first in terms of kind of the unintentional thought.
Right.
And what isn't working for you.
I see them and I know them
mm-hmm.
that I, you know, I want to eat instead of feeling
mm-hmm.
discouraged or basically the negatives. So mm-hmm. I don't want to feel angry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to feel disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to eat something sweet.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
just kind of, you know, you want to get all that out and like on paper and kind of in your awareness, and then work on just being okay with that, you know, with where you are right now in terms of just those are the thoughts you've been choosing, and these, and then that leads you to choosing to overeat, and it's all okay. It's just all choices, right?
Right.
And but you've decided that you want to do something different, right? So what, you know, if you had to guess, kind of what would you want to think instead that would lead you to allowing the urge? Do you have any idea?
I see. That's where I like, it's silly, but I feel like I'm coming up blank. I mean, I know somewhere there's a future self that isn't gonna mess with the emotional urges, but it's that bridging the gap that I feel like I'm at that weird place where I'm not quite there
yet. So give me a specific situation.
Sure. I'm that girl when I come home from work and it's that transition time. Mm-hmm. It's 4 o'clock, my little one's at my feet and it's time to do dinner. And I sit there and I stand in the kitchen in the corner and I eat and snack snack on what I'm prepping for dinner, but it's never like a, hey, let's sit down, eat dinner. It's just that nervous energy feeding it. And then, mm-hmm. Then I feel like I'm failing at PMP or I'm failing at, something in the preparation. And I know it's not that bad. Like I've had success at weight loss. I've lost 55 pounds. I know how to do it. I know what to do. Mm-hmm. But like lately it's creeping back into that. I don't even know if you'd call it stage two, where you just feel like you're, slowing yourself down. And I don't know, I just feel like I need a strong thought to kind of help me through the urges. And
so why do you want to, so you've lost 55 pounds. How many more, how much more you want to lose?
The number in my head was 145.
Okay.
And it, I'm not stuck on that. My biggest problem is I want to get rid of the emotional eating.
Right. Right.
Because I've been doing that for 30 years.
So yeah, I want you to kind of, to find a thought. I want you to really think about why you want to lose the rest of this weight.
And I completely know that it's because I don't want my daughter to have the emotional eating example. I don't want to give her that.
Okay.
As a strong why.
Okay. So if that's your strong why, your thought can be something like, I want to be an example for, for my daughter. I want to be an example for what's possible, in life. Is this, if you are kind of deciding to make a decision or not, is this, going to, is this choice going to, prove that I'm an example, or, just kind of work on developing that, that language, come up with some questions to ask yourself when you're really kind of trying to decide between making a choice. Mm-hmm. And then also, just some real decisive kind of statements. Like, I want to be an example to my daughter. And even, some bridging thoughts in terms of, I'm working on believing that I can do this. I'm, just kind of open up your mind to some of those. And just go back to your whys. And I mean, make a list of all your whys. Again, if you haven't already, because, it can be, we talk about compelling reasons. I mean, those are your whys.
Right.
And you want to have as many as you can. I mean, you don't want to, maybe you want to have one big one, but you want to have as many as you can so that you can draw from those. You never know when one might just work.
Right.
But it's also a matter of understanding that all those reasons are great, but it's all, I'm willing to sit in this discomfort because I want to be an example to my daughter. These compelling reasons, and this is for everybody, these compelling reasons don't make things easy, right? And you know this, you've already lost some weight, but it's just reminding yourself why you're choosing discomfort in the moment. Instead of the easy button.
Thank you.
Okay. So you think you're good?
That helps.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want you to kind of write my suggestions out, but then, just kind of do some brainstorming and kind of build off of that and just find, as many of those thoughts as you can. Mm-hmm. to practice, and then just plaster them all over the place.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Okay. Who else? We got a few more minutes. Let's see. Yeah, visualization, breathing techniques, talking about panic attacks. Anybody have any questions? Put them in the Q&A box. Anybody else want to get coached? Raise your hand. Here we go. Kathy. Hi.
Hey there. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding.
Good.
I had two of my accountability partners were earlier calls today, so I was glad that they jumped in. And so what I thought, well, if I got them to be on the call, I have to do it too.
Got
to
raise your hand too.
Yep. So mine's more of a question about no sugar and no flour.
Okay.
So I have noticed by going through my food journals and everything that I am practicing essentially a no sugar, no flour lifestyle for the most part. Mm-hmm. But when I think about actually saying I'm doing no sugar, no flour, it just raises a lot of angst and rebellion.
Mm.
That's one part. The other part is that with no sugar and no flour, is it a problem to do no sugar and keep the flour? I mean, I think the plant's that flexible that you can craft it in that way if it's, my body responds well to it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you can do whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are no rules, but I want to go back to this rebellion. Let's not just this glaze over that. Why are you feeling rebellious? Why do you...
Oh, I think I feel like I'm in a box in regards to that. And that's a thought.
Right.
And it's a thought that's not serving me well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I haven't, guess I haven't really found a replacement thought for it in regards to that. So I follow essentially no sugar and limited flour to control, mm-hmm. help control my diabetes. And so I'm seeing, you know, benefits with that. And hopefully in my next doctor visit, I can get back off my meds again.
So why are you thinking you need to change anything at this point?
I don't think I need to change anything. I think it's just having a label on it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe where the rebellion is from that aspect. It doesn't need a label, right?
No. Like I said, I mean, we can all do whatever we want. We can call it no sugar, no flour if we want to, but it doesn't. I mean, it's, yeah, I think that what it is, it's like you have this thought that, oh, but I'm not really doing no sugar, no flour, so I'm not doing it right. So I'm not going to do it at all, you know, and it's just like you can do whatever you want. You can call it whatever you want. And if it is working for you, go for it. So, I mean, the whole thing about no sugar, no flour, I mean, the whole thing about PNP in general is that your protocol is your protocol.
Right.
And so you can have, and you know this, but it's like, you know, you can just have anything you want. So if you want to take some stuff from no sugar, no flour and add it to your protocol, if you want to take some stuff from here and add it, you know, it is yours. Your plan, your protocol is your protocol. Your plan is your plan. It is Kathy's plan. And
Okay. Good
enough. You know, that is good enough for you.
Yep. And I guess that comes back to the perfectionist thinking and, you know, and B+ work on there and so forth. So,
it's the black and white thinking. And it's like, if I can't do this perfectly, then I'm not going to do it at all. And that's where the rebellion comes in. But if what you're doing is working for you and it is, you know, it is your protocol, then just there's no reason to change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel fantastic. I feel so much better in regards to that. And my urges to eat in the evening have diminished greatly. In fact, I for the last probably 2 weeks, I haven't eaten past 8 o'clock at all. So
I will ask you, why in the world are you looking to make any changes at this point?
Scale's not moving so much. So, okay. you know, you know, from that aspect. And I think from that aspect, you know, looking at my habit bowl, you know, accountability that I use to track, am I eating what I plan for and that, there's a lot of edges I can clean up on okay. that. I mean, see where the, where my BS behavior or my BS choices or the choices where I could improve on, I can see where that's occurring.
And those are good reasons to make changes, right? But right. just, you know, you don't want to make changes just because you don't think you're doing no sugar, no flour, you know, perfectly or something okay. like that, right? That's not a good reason to make changes. But, you know, you just want to make decisions from a place that you like, right? And from a place where you like your reasons. And so yep. that's, you know, that's where you want to come from. And that's, you know, that sounds like that's what you're doing. So
sounds good. I guess I just needed some confirmation yeah. that, you know, I'm, you know, go the status quo and just give it some more time and eventually the scale and everything else will catch up to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you need to do. Just
yeah.
keep moving forward. All right.
Keep moving forward. Well, thank you for your time. Have a All good right. evening.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right. Okay, Stephanie. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So what I'm having a problem with is that I'm before PMP, I found him in March. I found the podcast actually with Corinne, started listening and decided to join in June. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited for it, anticipating it because I've always done the extreme diets. Mm-hmm. And I say extreme diets because I'm part of a camp, the Camp Transformation Center, which is local here in Bakersfield, that they put you on 4 ounces of protein, 2 ounces of carbs and unlimited veggies. And you alternate between shakes and meals throughout the day. Okay. You have up to 3 shakes. So with that, I lost 36 pounds. Mm-hmm. I did really well. But then, as you know, as soon as you eat regular food, it's all going to come back. Mm. So I guess my issue is like now that I'm eating regular food, my first week with PMP, I lost 6.4 pounds. So I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm eating regular food. I'm doing well. My second week, not so good. I gained weight. I gained mm-hmm. 3 pounds. And I did have a busy weekend. I've grown sons. So they were both here from the coast and mm-hmm. we had a party to go to, which I knew was a barbecue style. So I already had in my idea, kind of, I were real close with my daughter-in-law's family. So I knew kind of what they would have and mm-hmm. I planned for it, planned to eat out, planned to mm-hmm. have brunch with them on Sunday, that type of thing. And I stayed on my 2-2. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is, should I be dropping my calories that low? Or, I mean, I know we're not counting calories, but mm-hmm. that mentality is still with me. You know, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I stay pretty true to my plan. I have had off plan eats or mm-hmm. I should say picking. I'm a picker. Like mm-hmm. when I'm prepping, I'm picking whatever I'm cooking for dinner or something like that. And I think someone mentioned, you know, I think it was Corinne. She said, you know, put a piece of gum in your mouth. That might help the, you know, the taste mm-hmm. be yucky and, you won't want to do that. So I guess, well, since this last week, since I added more, I want to say more filling food, mm-hmm. I guess, to my plan is why I feel like I gained the 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. First week I did chicken salad, you know, I did mm-hmm. tuna salad. I did, a lot lighter foods. And I think that's why I lost the weight.
Yeah.
And then, so now, I've lost, you know, like 1.5 pounds. So mm-hmm. I think my total loss in 2 weeks is only 1.4 pounds now. So it's kind of stressing me out that,
okay.
I think that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. What should I do?
So that's that's a total poison thought, right? I'm not where I'm supposed to be because, I mean, where do you think you're supposed to be?
I think I just think in my mind that I should have kept losing weight instead of gaining that weight or, in the last 3 weeks. So I was hoping for, you know, maybe I set a goal for 8 pounds in a month, which I thought was, you know, doable, 2 pounds a week. And when I did lose the first 6 pounds, I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I only did 8 pounds. Maybe I can really lose more. So I think in my mind, I should be at a higher weight loss and not, I guess, not be going up and down.
So here's the thing. We don't really know. You don't know how fast your body is going to release the weight. You know, you can only guess. You can't force your body to release the weight. And because you've been on this other diet, your body may need time to adjust. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are you willing to gain weight? Are you willing for your body to do whatever it needs to do for a while to get you on the path to losing weight for good?
Absolutely. I'm tired of the yo-yo dieting. I've been dieting for years.
So you are willing to even gain weight for a while?
I hope not a lot, but yeah, I mean,
I really want you to think about before you answer this.
I don't know.
Your body has been on this very restrictive diet for a while. You've put your body through a lot. And I don't say that but I mean, it's your body is working to, you know, to kind of readjust.
Right.
So are you willing to do whatever it takes, including gain weight for a little while, for you to ultimately lose weight for good?
I think so. But you know, that little demon in my mind is like, don't gain. But yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because I don't want to do that yo-yo dieting anymore.
Okay.
I do the strenuous exercise. I do the whole thing, just trying to maintain and lose. But I've had this weight for the last 20 years, but yeah, about 20 years is when I really gained the weight. And I wondered if it was like hormonal. I just realized that I had a hysterectomy almost, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if that was, a thing for me as well, if it, maybe it's hormonal. So in my mind, I'm thinking of all of these things, like maybe it could be this, maybe it could be that, maybe I should just,
I mean, it's your, emotions. I mean, and you've got a big old story about what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably that you've been on this, you know, restrictive diet for a while and your body is just working to readjust and it's going to take some time to readjust. But also here's the other thing. You're still overeating some.
Yes. Yes.
So you're having these expectations of weight loss when you're not doing all the actions that are required to lose weight. Yeah. I mean, you got to be honest with yourself, right?
Right.
And so you have these big expectations that your body should respond the way you think it should when you're not doing everything you need to do.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of, you know, really assessing each week when you weigh in. You know, we ask you, like, what are the 5 actions that led to this, you know, to this weight? Uh-huh. And it's being honest, like, you know, and a lot of times the 5 actions, some of them are, you know, what you are the 4 basics and what you should be doing. But other ones are, you know, I had some overeats. It's all about being honest with yourself and not judging yourself, but just being totally honest and saying, okay, this is what happened this week, you know, and this is what I weigh. And now the next week, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, we have the keep, start, stop, you know, what do you want to keep? And so that's what all that is about. It's just about being honest and not beating yourself up, not judging yourself, and just saying, this is what I chose to do this week. Mm-hmm. And you know, and part of it can be my body is still adjusting from the old diet. And I'm just going to be patient and I'm going to learn from this week and move forward. And my body will respond when it is ready. And I don't know exactly when that's going to be. You know, we can't predict. Right. And you can set goals if you want to, but the whole thing about goals is, what if you don't reach them? What are you going to make that mean?
Yeah.
You know, do you make that mean you're a failure and you quit, you know, and you end up quitting? Or do you make that mean, you know, what'd you say?
in my mind, it'd be like, oh, I need to exercise more.
Yeah.
Or instead of, you know, 4 days a week, I need to go seven.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe I need to do doubles, or maybe I need to do cardio after.
And, that's, you know, and exercise. And actually, Corinne's going to be doing in July, she's going to be doing a special video on the connection between exercise and weight loss. And it's a very small connection.
Right.
There's not that. Yeah. I really want you to watch that, because I think that's coming up in just a couple weeks, where, you know, it's such a small part of weight loss. And so to think that you can out exercise, you know, a bad diet, or to speed up your weight loss, that is not sustainable at all. And so it's just a matter of trusting your body to, you know, we know the four basics work over time, you know, and the people that have lost the weight and are keeping it off are the ones that had patience and trust in their body to do things when it was ready. And so they, you know, they set goals, but, you know, an average rate of weight loss for, you know, sustainable weight loss is a half a pound to 2 pounds a week. Uh-huh. So 2 pounds a week is on the high end. I mean, that's like absolutely no overeats, and, you know, really. So, you know, it's all about realistic goal setting too. But then ultimately, if you don't reach your goal, what do you make that mean? And, you know, do you learn from that, or do you beat yourself up and think you're a failure in all of that, you know? And
well, so, yeah, I try to figure it out. And then I try also to, like, when I say I try to figure it out, I will look and say, okay, well, I did eat bread, or I ate rice, or, you know, or I'll say that, you know, I ate something that didn't like agree with my body, or I know that I can't eat. Sometimes if I eat chicken, I swell. It's, I don't know, it's weird. Or rice, I've noticed that my ankles will swell. I mean,
but here's the thing. Are you willing to weigh yourself and not ever understand why you gained weight? Not ever have a reason.
I think I can learn, but it's going to be hard.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to practice that, because there are going to be weeks that you are going to either stay the same, or you are going to gain. And there is absolutely, are you back?
I'm back. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. There are going to be weeks that you, like, either stay the same or you gain, and you have absolutely no explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to have to just say, you know what? I don't know why that happened, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and keep moving forward.
Right.
So that's another.
I kind of told myself that.
Yeah, that's another. I mean, and that takes practice, you know, but it's like, you want to know that that's part of the deal. That's part of this program, is that things happen and there's not always an explanation for them.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just our body doing what it does. And we don't always understand. We don't always have a reason. We don't always have an explanation. And we just have to trust the process.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's trusting the process is a practice, you know, it's just a practice in, you know, in thought work, in terms of just, I trust, you know, telling yourself, I trust the process, and I'm going to keep going no matter what. And I'm not going to quit. You know, the only thing I'm not going to do is quit.
Right.
Because that's the only way to fail with our program, is to quit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That was a really good question. Really good call.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. It is 8:00. Okay. It was a good session. All kinds of interesting questions. And we'll get this replay up. If you all didn't see the Tribe News Show today, that replay will be up on pnptribe.com. It's also on the Facebook page if you want to watch that, the replay. But Corinne explained all about what's going on in July. It's going to be the Gift of Fat, because it's Corinne's birthday month. And so you all are going to give her fat for her birthday. You all are going to give her pounds of fat. And so it's all about losing weight in July. So we're going to have all kinds of fun challenges each week. And like I mentioned to Stephanie, Corinne's going to be doing some trainings each week on just all kinds of things related to weight loss. So it's just going to be a really fun month where we just get to focus on weight loss and just do some fun challenges. So, all right, guys, take care. And I will see you all. Let's see. Corinne's got coaching tomorrow at noon. And then Kathy will be on office hours on Saturday. So, all right. Talk to y'all later. Bye.